Welcome to In His Service Together Radio, in association with the Evangelical Church Alliance International. I am your host, Elman Krupnik. Our featured music artists for our programs are Randy and Marley Brown, Huntley Brown, and Kay Weirho. To find out more information about their ministries, please go to the description page for this show and you'll find their websites listed there. Also, if you'd like to see my sermons that are on YouTube, a link is provided for that as well. Thank you for joining me today, and it is my hope and prayer that you enjoy this time of worship and praise. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is wonderful to have you all here this morning. Please turn with me in your red hymnals and we'll sing the doxology together, number 549. In the red hymnal, number 549, and we'll sing the doxology. Praise God. Number 713. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a teacher of the law, tried to trap him with a question. "Teacher," he asked, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus answered, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. You must love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teachings of the prophets depend on these two commandments." Amen. Our first hymn this morning is number 99, "What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine." Number 99.
Leaving on
go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you have called each and every one of us to come and worship here together this morning. And Lord, we lift up all of the different individual needs and requests that we have on our lives. We lift the needs and requests of our friends, of our fellow patients, of our relatives, of the staff members throughout this medical center, for the family members that we'll be visiting. Lord, we lift up all those prayers to you. And God, many of them are unspoken because as we search our hearts and our minds and our souls, a lot of times the words cannot express what our needs are in our lives. But we are putting our trust and confidence in you in all things. And God, as we do pray to you, we would ask that you would give us that discernment and that understanding that we need to have, that you would provide for us the patience, the strength, and the courage we need to wait on you and to follow your direction as you lead in our lives. And Lord, we are so grateful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is number 88, For the Beauty of the Earth. Number 88, For the Beauty of the Earth. scripture reading this morning is Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 11. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, you have been moving in our lives through the presence of your Spirit this morning. Lord, we thank you for the hymns that we have sung, the scriptures that we have read, and the prayers that we offer to you as a body of believers in your Son, Jesus Christ. Help me now, I pray, to provide further guidance in all of our lives. In Christ's name, amen. I don't know what kind of week you had this week, but I had an interesting week. And what I mean by that is usually when we have ups and downs, right? We have peaks and valleys, we kind of call that, well, we'll be nice. We call it an interesting week. Sometimes we call it other things. In fact, last week I was playing this game with dice called Farkle. And of course, if you didn't get the roll on the dice, you would say Farkle. So I found myself saying Farkle instead of the other word that we would normally say in replacement of Farkle. So you hear what I'm saying, right? So we were having fun because we'd actually say Farkle and we didn't have any guilt about it, right? So it's all good stuff. So maybe that's be a new word replacement, right? So you can say Farkle now, right? So I added some other adjectives to it, but my wife is laughing at me because she said shame on me and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so Farkle. So I had one of those kind of Farkle kind of weeks, okay? And as I was thinking about the sermon this morning, and it is titled UFO, which stands for Unidentified Foreign Objects, I was relating to my Farkle kind of week. And I was thinking about my faith and where I am in my walk with the Lord. Where is my maturity? And that is a question that I think we all need to ask all of the time. Is how are we doing with our walk with the Lord? And you know, one of the things that they tell us to do in counseling, and I've learned this from early on, and I'm sure you've heard it too, and you are part of a counseling regiment, they always encourage you to use the I statement, right? And you're all, yeah, see, you're all not, see, we all understand that, right? Now, most congregations would not understand that. And I am so glad that you do, and that is great, you know? Because as I've told you, people kind of ask me, well, what messages do you preach at your chapel? And I'm saying, it's messages that my audience understand. Because some other audience may not understand that question, right? Somebody would be elbowing the person next to him and saying, what is he trying to say with this I statement thing? I don't understand what he's talking about. But you understand what the I statement means. And so, I don't want to say we because I don't have a mouse in my pocket, but I think I need to say, when I talk about my walk with the Lord, I have to ask myself that question quite often. Because we do have Farkle type of weeks, we do have Farkle type of days, we do have Farkle type of months, and we just need to ask that question, where is my walk with the Lord? And I know that this week has been a struggle, and it ended yesterday, and I'll just say it ended Saturday in terms of our week, and it was a very difficult day yesterday. variety of unknown circumstances that we weren't ready for that happened in our lives. People that we love and care for were making decisions, and as adults, and I'll say that, we're trying to understand some of those decisions. There were some moments of crisis yesterday in my life. There were moments of tears. There were moments of frustration. There were moments of anger. And you're probably saying to yourself, well, that just sounds like a typical day for me. And I would say, probably is. And I think for most of us, we experience those same kind of emotions and feelings each day. It just depends upon the severity of those emotions, right? In terms of how high the mountaintop experience is and how low the valley experience is. The scriptures that we've read this morning kind of relates to the fact that in our daily lives, when we have those mountaintop and valley experiences, where is our faith in our lives? Where is the faith in my life? And I'd like to say to you that my faith in the Lord is strong and it is confident. I would say yes to that. But I would also have to tell you that there are times when there is self-doubt, when I lack confidence in my faith. It doesn't mean that I'm any less of a believer. I think it's just a part of honesty that God wants me to have in my relationship with Him. And I suggest to you, in the same way, He wants you to always be honest in your relationship with Him as well. And so here there's a warning against those Christians that potentially might be falling away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what is being said here is the fact that they need to understand, as we need to understand, as I need to understand, that there are some fundamental principles of what we believe in as being followers of Jesus Christ. And so in our maturity and in our walk with God, one of the signs that you are following God the way that you should be, one of the signs in which you are maturing the way that God wants you to be in terms of your walk with God and your growing up with God, is where are you in terms of understanding your concept of righteousness? And so I need to ask that question of myself is, what do I believe in terms of righteousness? What is my world view, right? That's the new thing that we've been using for the last couple of years. What is your world view? So what is my world view of righteousness? And what is your world view of righteousness? Well, I would hope, and my prayer would be, that it is similar, if not identical. Because if you and I are followers of Jesus Christ, then our worldview of righteousness should be the same. We should identify with what good is. We should want good to be manifested in every day of our lives. And it doesn't mean that we don't have Farkle type of days. It doesn't mean that when we roll the dice that we always get the numbers that we want. I'm talking about a game called Farkle. I am not talking about gambling, okay? But you know, in our own lives, we have to ask that question about what is our worldview of righteousness. What is our understanding of distinguishing between good and evil in our lives? Because that is the measurement of our growth and in our walk with God. It is your understanding and my understanding of what good and evil is. Because when we understand that, then we find ourselves no longer being on milk, but we find ourselves being on meat. And if you happen to be a vegetarian, some other type of sustenance that provides you the protein that you need to have that is more substantial than just milk. And that in itself reveals to you that you are making progress. That you are making progress beyond what you had when you came to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You are growing up. I am growing up. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't acquiesce from time to time to adolescent or childlike behavior. In fact, we as adults have a tendency to do that. We just call it something else. But you and I both know when we see other adults acting like an adolescent or as a child, and we kind of say to them, or at least we're thinking it, we want them to do what? Grow up, right? Get over it. And within our own lives with God spiritually, we need to grow up. We need to no longer be adolescent or childlike in our behavior, in our walk with God. Spiritually, we need to be in a place where we understand the things of God in our lives, and we accept those things that are in our lives. We do those things that God allows us to change with His strength, with His courage, with His understanding, with His patience. In fact, even with the different crises that Lynn and I were going through yesterday, and of course, for us, a crisis is when it has to do with family members, right? And so we had the whole gamut of different types of crisis within our family yesterday. And it was interesting for me as I experienced a different set of emotions, right? As you go through those things, dealing with those situations with family, I found myself at the end of it all being silent. And for me, being silent is a good thing, because I have the tendency to speak my mind, to speak my feelings, to speak my anger, to speak my frustrations, to speak my resentment. But I found myself being silent. And there was a peace about that. It doesn't mean that I was not in emotional turmoil. It doesn't mean that I got a good sleep last night. On the contrary, I woke up several times experiencing the emotions that I was having during the day, walked around the house in the middle of the night, check the windows, check the doors. You know, we do stupid things to kind of justify our existence for walking around at night. Said some silent prayers. Experienced some more in-depth emotion about the circumstances. But then I found myself at peace. It wasn't a perfect peace. It wasn't a perfect tranquility. It wasn't a perfect harmony. But I found myself at peace. And that's where God wants us to be in our walk with Him. Because when we understand what righteousness is to God, we understand what righteousness is to ourselves and to those that are around us. When we are able to distinguish the difference between good and evil in our lives based on God's standards, we do find ourselves at peace. It's not a perfect peace. And the reason why it's not perfect peace is because I am not a perfect person. And I know some of you might think that you are, and that's okay. I just say woe to you and your perfection, because we are not perfect. We make decisions based on the frailties of who we are as human beings. And anytime we make decisions or interact with any individual in our lives, we always should say, by the grace of God, go I. By the grace of God, go I. One of the signs of us growing up in the Lord as we understand the view of righteousness that God wants us to have, it includes the fact that you and I, as we understand the concept of righteousness, being able to distinguish between good and evil, that we have an attitude that is not one of self-righteousness. It is not one of judgment. You hear what I'm saying? It's not an attitude that I'm a better person than you are. Because God reminds us again and again that He can humble us very quickly when we have that type of attitude. So understanding that righteousness that God wants us to have means that we set aside our pride of who we are. We set aside the haughtiness of who we are, you know? We set aside those things that we feel distinguish us at a higher level than others. But then we see within the righteousness of God that God never intends for us to be that way. He intends for us to understand good and evil for His purposes. For us to love one another. And the scriptures that we have read this morning as our call to worship. Who is our neighbor? Our neighbor probably is the person not only that lives next door, but that neighbor is anyone that we come in contact with, including our enemies, because they too are our neighbors. And Christ tells us to love them. He tells us that when you love them, you are showing that God is foremost in your life, that God is number one. And I shared with you a couple of weeks ago the other use of the number one. God wants to be number one in our lives, in all things. And we display that by our understanding of righteousness, by the way in which we incorporate good and evil in our lives. We see in our walk with God that we have developed to the point where we understand that we can allow ourselves to be vulnerable. Because your reflection on good and evil, your reflection on righteousness, and my reflection on righteousness, and my reflection on good and evil, should allow us to be vulnerable to the circumstances that we are in. And you're saying, I don't think I can be vulnerable in those types of situations. But when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable, we are acting upon the righteousness that God wants us to have. The ability for us to have the understanding of good and evil. We can only do those things. We can only see those things when we allow ourselves to be vulnerable in those circumstances. And that vulnerability means that we show and we exercise love and compassion to one another. That vulnerability means that we exercise mercy to one another. That vulnerability means that we show grace to each other. Because then and only then can we see the righteousness that God wants us to have in our lives, and we apply it because we allow ourselves to be vulnerable. We allow ourselves to hurt if that's what it takes to show the righteousness of God in our lives. We allow ourselves to be hurt when we are speaking to others kindly and in a loving way about good and evil. Because we know that when we do that, we are risking what? We are risking rejection. And that's why we struggle with making ourselves vulnerable in front of each other and vulnerable before God, because we don't want to have rejection, because rejection hurts. And it hurts deeply. And it hurts a lot. So there's a risk that we take. There's a risk that we take in showing God's righteousness to others. There's a risk that we take when we look at good and evil and we say what is good and we say what is evil. There is a risk that we take. And I need to understand that when I take that risk, when I make myself vulnerable, I realize that there is going to be possible rejection. And what does that do for us? I would say to you that it frees us of so many different things in our lives. It frees us of the emotional burden that I know I have on my shoulders. I don't know how much emotion you have each day in terms of your emotional energy. I know that I only have limited amounts. But yet, when we are looking at things from God's perspective, the perspective of the righteousness, the perspective of the good and evil, we allow ourselves to be vulnerable to the things of God. And then we truly see and understand that the burden that God has given us is not there, because the presence of Christ in our lives has made that burden light. I know you're thinking to yourselves, that seems to be, you know, one of those reverse type of logic types of things, right? How can it be good for you, but yet be hurtful to you? And how can allowing yourself to be vulnerable be good for you? But it can be good for you. Because then you see things not with your own selfish eyes, and I'll use an I statement here. I don't see the things in my selfish eyes. I see them through the eyes of God. And when I see those things through the eyes of God, I am able to take the necessary steps that God wants me to do, to understand how He wants me to live. And in the same way, He gives that offering to you. I am no different than you before God. I am no different. And God wants you to be walking with Him all of the time. God wants you to be vulnerable and submissive to the things in His life as He works in your life, as you are following His will, because then we find ourselves being carried by God and not carried by ourselves, because we are doing the things that God has wanted us to do and what God has wanted us to be. Because then we see in our lives that we are responding to those challenges, because God wants us to respond in a way that glorifies Him. God wants us to respond in a way that is mature, reflecting the growth that we have had with our walk with God. So it is my hope and prayer that the rest of this day, the rest of this week that will be before us, that even though there are times that you might be wanting to say the word Farkle, that you'll say it in such a way that it's reflecting the righteousness that God wants you to have in your life, the vulnerability that God wants you to have in your life, to be able to distinguish between good and evil because you want other people to see and to share in the same way that you have shared in the life of God in your own life. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion, revealing the public testimony that we have with God and His Son, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so thankful that You have reminded us that we need to be vulnerable to the people in our lives, that we need to be open, that we need to seek righteousness, that we need to be able to distinguish between good and evil, because it reveals our character and our walk with You. God, help us when we have not wanted to be vulnerable, when we've just wanted to be selfish, when we just wanted to think about ourselves and we wanted to guard our emotions so we would not feel the hurt, we not feel the pain. But God, You have reminded us this morning that our walk with You allows for that, allows us to feel that hurt, allows us to feel that pain, so we know that the burden is with You and we can walk with You in all things. Thank You, God, for this time of communion. In Christ's name, amen. I receive from the Lord, but I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had broken it and given thanks, He said, "This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." Let us partake together. In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me. But whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us partake together. Before we have our closing hymn this morning, we're going to pray. I won't mention the name, but there was a request for us to lift somebody up in prayer this morning, and I'd like to do that right now. Please join me. Our gracious God, Lord, we lift up the patient that has been mentioned this morning here in our chapel service. God, we'd ask that you would provide that patient your will in all of those circumstances, that you would be with the surgeons and all that are involved in the care and treatment, that the best will be done. And Lord, we just quietly in our hearts lift that patient up to you, knowing, God, that you will answer our prayers according to your will and purpose. Thank you, God, that we can pray together in this circumstance. In Christ's name, amen. Please join with me in our closing hymnal, number 94, Sweet Hour of Prayer. How appropriate. Reminding us that in all things you want us to pray. Help us, God, to do that according to your will and according to your purpose. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming. Well, good morning. Good morning. Glad to see all of you here this morning as we come to worship the Lord. Please join me as we sing the doxology together, and it's number 549 in the red hymnal, and we'll sing the doxology. Hymn number 707. Do not save riches here on earth, where moths and rust destroy, and robbers break in and steal. Instead, save riches in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and robbers cannot break in and steal. For your heart will always be where your riches are. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is hymn number 99, What a Fellowship. What a joy divine. Join me as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our gracious God, Lord, we come before you just as we are this morning. And God, with all the needs that we have in our lives, we also take time to think of the needs of others and not only of ourselves. Because God, in doing so, we know that as we pray for others, you remind us of the goodness and the things that we have in our lives to be thankful for. And as we lift each other up in prayer, God, we just want to say thank you for all the great things that you have done in our lives. And Lord, you know the challenges that we face each day, the difficulties that we do our best to try to overcome. But God, we call upon you to help us the rest of the way. Because as we look to you for that guidance in our lives, as we look to you for the peace that we want to have, we know that we cannot do it in our own strength and in our own way. Help us, God, to see those truths and to trust in you always. And Lord, we think of the fellow patients that are here, the staff that are working throughout this medical center, the family members that will be visiting today. Lord, we lift them up to you in prayer as well. Because you know of those needs that they have. And Lord, we just ask that you would intervene in a very special way and remind them always of your presence in their lives. And God, we are so thankful that you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you for praying with me this morning. Our next hymn is number 303, I Serve a Risen Savior. 303, I Serve a Risen Savior. Singing with me this morning. It's always good when I'm not singing a solo up here. It's always good. Appreciate that. Our scripture reading this morning is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard about Jesus, all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him, for he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the impure spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell others about him. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Lord, we are so thankful that we've had this time to worship you thus far. We thank you for the scriptures that we have read, the prayers that we have offered together, and the hymns that we have sung. And Lord, I would just ask that that praise would continue. Help me now, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. So how many of you have ever received a special invitation to attend an event? Perhaps a wedding, perhaps a birthday. In fact, one of our grandsons had his birthday yesterday, and we received an invitation for that. And all the times that we get those invitations, it's always nice that people remember about the relationship that we have with them, and they invite us to the events that they have, because we're part of that relationship, or part of that following for that family or for that friend. And it's always good when we get an invitation to that. In the same way, Christ extended an invite to his disciples. In the same way, Christ extends the same invite to you and I each and every day to come and join him, to come and be with him. And as the crowds followed Jesus, many of them obviously did not have an invitation, or did they have an invitation? Because of the different miracles that Jesus was performing, people that had need felt that that was an invitation to come and to be healed by him. And in the same way, do we see that invitation the same way for us, for who we are as followers of Jesus Christ? Jesus extends to us the same invitation as he did to the crowds, to come and be healed. May not be for physical trauma, it could be. It may not be for emotional trauma, it could be. It may not be for spiritual trauma, it could be. But Jesus is beckoning and calling each and every one for us to be healed. Healed from the things that are separating us from the love of God. To be healed from those things that are separating us from the relationships that God wants us to have with others. And I don't know about you, but I need healing every day. I need healing every day. And I guarantee you, next weekend after I hike the Grand Canyon with 30-plus soldiers and we go rim to rim in one day, I, too, will be definitely needing physical healing, if not emotional healing as well. And that'll come back the following Sunday to let you know how that works. So pray for me this coming Labor Day weekend when you think of me, because this old guy is going to go out and try to do it with the 18 and 19-year-olds. We'll see how that goes. But when we have that invite to healing, when we have that invitation that God extends to each and every one of us, how do we respond to it? Do we send our regrets, saying, God, no, I've received your invitation to join with you spiritually, emotionally, and physically, to look at the power that you can perhaps work in my life and provide some type of healing from the hurts that I'm experiencing? Do we send our regrets to that? Or do we send that RSVP, yes, Lord, I hear your invite, and I am going to be attending with you. I'm going to be joining in that healing process with you. And as part of that RSVP, God, I would ask that you would give me that faith that I need to have as I follow that invite that you have extended to me. Because when we do and respond in the invitation the way that God wants us to respond, he doesn't make us respond. He doesn't force us to respond. He doesn't give us that guilt trip to respond. You know, one of my favorite bumper stickers that I see, and I always remember it, is the bumper sticker said that my mother would be a great travel agent because she's always sending me on guilt trips. But God doesn't put us on a guilt trip. He wants us to respond openly. He wants the decision to be our own. Because if it's in any other way, if it's any other fashion, if it's the way that we are doing it because we think people want us to respond that way, or we're trying to get something out of it, or we're trying to please someone else, or we're feeling some kind of sense of guilt that if we don't respond, something negative is going to happen to us and we do it anyway. No, we have to do it in a response that gives us the freedom to do so. Because when we identify with that freedom, we see in our lives that fact that God is always wanting us to grow. That you and I are always growing and maturing in our relationship with God. And one of the ways that we can see how we're doing on that is how we respond to the things of God in our lives. Do we do so willingly? Or do we do so kicking and screaming? Now, I must admit that there are times that I have followed the Lord and I was kicking and screaming, saying, no, this is not for me. No, Lord, I don't want to do it. And literally, he closed all the doors, he closed all the windows, he sealed all the cracks, and I only had one direction to go. And I went kicking and screaming. But God doesn't want us to respond that way to him. He always wants us to come freely. He always wants us to be with him in a very special way, that we acknowledge that we are with you because we want to be with you, because we love you, and we know that you love us. And so God tells us in that invite that we are called to be something special and something different. Something different and special in a way that acknowledges the relationship that we have with God to others. And we have a responsibility to respond. But once again, in that responsibility, it's far different when we do it willingly than when we do it in an unwilling manner. There are ways in which we can respond to God that acknowledge that personal belief that we have in our relationship with God through his Son, Jesus Christ. The fact that you and I acknowledge that invite, the fact that you and I understand that as we go to God, he does accept us for the way that we are. Not for something that we can't be, or an image perhaps that others have of us, but just for who we are. A couple of months ago, my wife and I were having a discussion, and one of the things that we were talking about was the whole ideal of expectations. Expectations. And I think all of us have expectations. Expectations of others, expectations of the relationship that we have with God, expectations that I think we put on ourselves unfairly. And so when we come to those expectations of God's invite, what are those expectations that you have of God? Do you expect him to heal you from everything? Yes, I expect that. Should we have the faith to believe that? Yes. Do I have the faith to believe that? I have to be honest with you and say, no, my faith is lacking. I need to have the faith that can only come from God. And in that sense, it reflects the fact that God is always growing with us, helping us to try to understand our walk with him. And as we accept that invite, as we come into God's presence, we are reminded that God wants us to keep our minds open to the truth. You know, I've worked with a lot of leaders through my lifetime. And for me, the best leader I've ever worked for was someone that instilled trust in me. Because if I trust someone in which I am following, I will do more for them than they would ever expect. I would be loyal to them more than any other. I would defend that person that I trusted. Think about the leaders that you have known. Now, I know we have had bad leaders, so let's put the bad leaders aside. But think about the good leaders that you had, the ones that you trusted, the ones that held that loyalty in allegiance. And because you trusted them, you were willing to do far more than you ever thought you could accomplish and that you could do. Because a leader that we trust them, they also instill that confidence in us as well, confidence in ourselves. A leader that we trust also instills the courage that we need to have, because we know that our leadership is looking out for our best interests as we look out for their best interests. But I think one thing that's more important that covers all those things is serving a leader that has compassion and understanding. Think about those leaders in which you felt that compassion and that understanding, along with that trust, along with their ability to be able to let you know what your left and right limits were. Now, those of you that are not affiliated with the military are not going to understand that, but those of us who do affiliate with the military, we know left and right limits. We know that there are boundaries in terms of those left and right limits. And why are those boundaries existing? It's so you can protect yourself and others in the most best possible way that you can. And God tells us through His Son Jesus Christ what our left and right limits are, not to inhibit us, not to hold us back, but to help us understand that in all that we do, in all that we are in Christ, that we have boundaries. Boundaries that exist of faith. Boundaries that exist of truth. Boundaries that exist of trust. Boundaries that exist of compassion. Because if we know what those boundaries are, the potential for each and every one of us to truly be healed by God is unlimited. It is infinite. There is nothing that we can't do before God that He would not heal, that He would not give us that impact in our lives. Now, it may not be the expectations that we have of what that healing is, because God has placed us, each and every one of us, in a different journey, in a different place, so we can minister to others. So my idea of healing for something in my life might be totally different than what God's idea of healing is. And we need to accept that. We need to grow in that understanding. But it doesn't mean that we should not ask for what the ultimate healing should be for us as we see it, as we understand it. And then we let God to do the rest. Because that is true faith. And when we pray to God, when we cry out to Him, do we understand in that invitation that He has given us that that's what He wants us to be? A person that cries out to Him about all things. A person that cries out talking about the limitations that we have in our own faith. And to have the faith that God wants us to have, it has to come only from Him. It's not something that we can do or exercise within our own lives, because we have limitations. But God does not. And we understand that. But yet we still are frustrated because we have an expectation. We have a desire. We have a need in our lives that we feel that we know the best answer to that problem. And as we understand that, God accepts us just for who we are. God loves us just for who we are. God extends to each and every one of us the same love, the same compassion, the same grace, the same mercy. The invitation that I get, you get the same invitation. I am no special person. You are no special person. Except in the eyes of God, you and I have an equality that this world cannot ever understand. That you and I stand before God as equals, because you and I are God's creation. God loves you the same amount that He loves me. God truly believes in equality in all things. But yet we look around in our lives and we see the things that are not equal. And we cry out in frustration. But yet God reminds us that if we truly believe that He is in control of all things, that in all things will work out according to His will, according to His purpose. And it's not a vain saying. It's not something that we do when we are just so frustrated. We say, oh, it's God's will. Yes, it is God's will, but yet we have a responsibility to each other to change the things that we can, right? The Serenity Prayer. And to be able to know the difference of those things that we can change and those things that we cannot change. And leave all of those things up to God. Because we are always growing. We are always wanting to learn more about our relationship with God. We are more always wanting to learn and to be a follower and to imitate the things that God wants us to imitate. His love, His compassion, His desire that everyone come to know Jesus Christ so everyone can have that restored relationship with God. And then as we're always growing, we see the relationship that God gives us in all things. And then we begin to see God's vision of what He intends for each and every one of us. And that is what? God's ultimate vision is for all of us to come to know Jesus Christ, for all of us to partake in understanding in the eternal life that we have that is yet to come, to catch the vision about how we are supposed to love each other the way that Christ loved, the way that Christ made the sacrifice, the way that Christ put others first instead of Himself. And as we are always growing, we begin to see little glimpses of that vision. And then we begin to understand the things of God. And then we see, as we are following God in that invitation, the things around us that reflect God's glory. Your relationship with God. My relationship with God, all reflect God's glory. And yes, my relationship is imperfect, your relationship is imperfect, but where is the glory? The glory is the fact that God still loves me even though I am imperfect. God still loves you even though you are imperfect. And there is glory to be seen in that. There is glory to be seen in our imperfections. Because that means God is not done with us yet. God is not through with us yet. And then we see in our lives the fact that as we're growing, we have a long way to go. It's always good to recognize the fact that we're always growing, because a lot of times I've seen many people get caught up in this spiritual pride, this spiritual, if you will, arrogance, the spiritual condescending type of attitude that I am more righteous than you are. If you are always growing in the Lord, you realize that your righteousness is truly filthy rags, that you are no better than the next person. And it is only by the grace of God that you go. It is only by the grace of God go I into the world in which we live in, to demonstrate the love hopefully the best that we can that God has given us. And yes, as we see our lives, and yes, we look to those imperfections, we always are reminded of the perfection that we have through what God has done for us in His Son, Jesus Christ. And when we identify with those things, we are growing, we are hearing, we are responding, and also we are sharing in the suffering of what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I'd like to tell you that being a follower of Jesus Christ is great every day, and it's always rosy, and it's always wonderful, and you always get everything that you want. Nobody will ever say a harsh word to you. No one will ever treat you badly. That is not true. Our relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, many times is a struggle. Many times it is a battle. But we have to remind ourselves that in that battle, the victory has already been won at the cross. But yet we pursue what God wants us to do in our lives. We pursue the cause of Christ. We pursue the significance that God has given each and every one of us in our lives. And we show and we demonstrate that significance to others, and we reach out to them and we tell them, you are just as important to God as I am. And we treat each other accordingly. That is the goal. That is the significance that you have as a follower of Jesus Christ. Do you see that significance the way that God wants you to see it? Do you see it as a privilege, as an honor, as something that God has extended to you? Because when we see it that way, we just begin to grow more and more as a follower of Jesus Christ. And as we enter in our relationship with God, we begin to see the healing that is taking place in our lives. The healing that God has said He would always give us. And then we begin to see that healing, and we begin to understand God's truths in our lives. And then we just say, thank you, God. Thank you for that vision that you have given me. Thank you for the glory that I see in my life and in the lives of others. Thank you for those things that I suffer for in Christ. Thank you for accepting my imperfections, because in you I am made perfect. So it is my hope and prayer that as we continue on with this day and begin this week, that we're always looking for those opportunities to always be growing in God, to accept that invitation as God calls us each day to His healing power for the things that we need to work on in our lives, and for the healing power that God can give to others. Because in doing so, we are truly following Him in the best way that we possibly can, and that we're truly always growing in Him. Amen. Let us take a few moments and prepare our hearts for communion, identifying with God through His Son, Jesus Christ, that we want to have that relationship with Him always. Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so thankful that you've given us this wonderful opportunity to recognize our imperfections and your perfections. Lord, forgive us when we have not accepted the invitation that you have given us to experience your healing powers in our lives. Thank you, God, for this public testimony that we can give. In Christ's name, amen. receive from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us partake together. Our closing hymn this morning is number 153, "Abide with Me, Fast Falls the Eventide." God, we are so thankful that you have sent us that invitation to come and join you in your healing power for us every day. Lord, help us to accept that invitation to draw closer to you and experience the healing power that you have for our lives. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding be with you now and forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming.